Welcome to St James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. The readings are taken from Romans chapter 14, verse 1, and then from verse 5 to 13, followed by the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. The talk this morning is from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Protecting Your Church.
The first reading then is taken from Romans chapter 14, verse 1 and verses 5 to 13. The danger of criticism. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honour him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honour the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honour the Lord. And if we die, it's to honour the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord of both the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, reading verses 1 through to 13. And if the microphone plays up and you can't hear me, just wave and I will raise my voice. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, John and Nick, and well done, John, to be flexible with the reality of technology and sometimes of the little stickers that pops out. There we go. I think should be fine. So we're continuing this series on Fit for Purpose, and just to remind you a little bit, we are exploring this idea of being part of a family. We started, what does it mean to be part of God's family? The privilege it brings, the promises of God to all the Christians, but also the responsibility and the kind of behavior that Paul expresses also in that same book of Ephesians, kindness, patience, love, humility. We explored that 3 weeks ago. Last week we looked at what it means to be committed to relationships, and today we're looking at unity, protecting your church. And I didn't know, but Sue reminded me that actually this week is the week of prayer for unity. It's the week around the world that we pray for church unity. So that's a great way of saying maybe I was inspired to put that title today. This morning I looked at my Lectio 365 app, and there was a prayer. And I want just to use that prayer at the start of this talk. Father, I thank you that millions of people will learn from the Bible today. Please speak powerfully to convict, comfort, and conform our minds to yours. Amen. And as we think about unity and protecting your church, I want you to keep in mind that well-known picture, maybe it's the first time you see it, but it's quite a well-known icon of the Trinity. And it was painted by a Russian painter called, I think it's the right pronunciation, Andrei Rublev, and that was in the 15th century. And just to give you a little bit of indication, if you look at the picture, on the right, you have the Holy Spirit. He has a blue garment and a green robe, so the blue and green, that's the Holy Spirit, symbolizing the Spirit's work that gives life, that breathes life into creation. So divinity, but also the work of the Holy Spirit in creation. The sun is in the middle with this garment of reddish brown of earth and a blue cloak, or again, that symbolizes his divinity, his presence in heaven. He is the person that unites both heaven and earth. The two natures are present in him. And over his shoulder, you can see on his right, there is a band of gold. You might remember in scripture it says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And that gold is his divinity that expresses through his humanity. And then the Father on the left. And he seems to wear all kind of colors. You know, we can't really see what is, we know the blue, but that one that's kind of see-through, is it green, is it brown, is it... And it shows something about the mystery of the Father. No one has seen the Father, yet the vision of the Father fills the universe. And if you look at their eyes and what they're looking at, the Father looks at the Son, as is to say, this is my Son, listen to him. And the Son's hand points to the Holy Spirit. So it goes around the circle, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it looks like the Holy Spirit is looking at us, inviting us in the very being of God. And so it goes in a circle from Father, Son to the Holy Spirit, reaching us so that we can look through the Holy Spirit, who will guide us to the Son, who will reveal to the Father. A beautiful picture of unity, harmony, working together. So I'm going to use that picture as we go through this talk about protecting your church. And I must say, most of my ideas, I took it from a book, so I must give full acknowledgement to that, from Rick Warren, called What on Earth Am I Here For? And there is a chapter about protecting your church. But we're going to look at those two readings that we had this morning. Because this is why unity matters so much. It's in the very being of God. It's who God is, three and one. And on earth, while Jesus was preparing himself for trial, and he knew he was going to be crucified, his prayer was, Father, keep them together. May they be one as we are one. And so as part of God's family, believers, we have the responsibility to work very hard to keep the unity of the church, and in particular the unity of the local church, the church God has placed you in. And so that's why Paul has this key sentence: make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So how do we do this? Well, first, we focus on what we have in common, not our differences. And so in one of those readings, we hear about what we have in common: one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, one God and Father of all. We are brought into one body by the one Spirit. We share the same salvation, the same call to holy living, and the same future. And Paul urges, now that you are part of this family, live lives that are worthy of the calling you have received. So we must focus on what matters more: learning to love each other as Christ has loved us, and fulfilling God's purposes, the purposes he has for our lives and the purposes he has for this church. And so in his book he said, quarrels are often signs, not always, sometimes conflicts need to be worked out because they're serious issues, but quarrels are often signs that the focus has shifted to less important issues, what the Bible calls disputable matters. And I've looked through the passage and I thought of, and through a little bit of the New Testament, and I thought of three areas. One is the area of what I call the personality cult. That was an issue in the church of Corinth. And so Paul wrote to them saying, I heard from the household of Chloe that there are some quarrels among you. And what I mean is this: one say, I'm following Paul. The others say, oh, I'm following Apollos. And a third say, oh, I'm following Cephas or Caiaphas. Yet another said, oh, well, I'm the more spiritual. I follow Christ. Thank you very much. Is Christ divided, Paul would say? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? The heart of our vision is we want to grow as followers of Jesus. Jesus should always be the center. He is what matters, telling the good news of Jesus. Jesus should be at the center, and everything points to Jesus. Now, another what I think is disputable matter is preferences and style. And so in our reading, we have those preferences about food and preferences about days. One will consider one day more sacred than the other. The other will consider every day alike. And in the reading, it speaks about matters of food, and especially in the first century was the issue of meat, because some of that meat might have been sacrificed for idols, and some Christians were conscious of that and had an issue with that. So one might think, well, that doesn't matter anymore, and will eat meat. He does it for the Lord, giving thanks to him. Another would abstain from eating meat, also to give thanks to God. Maybe a little bit an equivalent today is those who choose to be a vegetarian, who feels that as a way to worship God, I'm going to take that lifestyle. I know that some in Africa, that would be very difficult. So when they got their big steak, they really praise God for it. Is my wife here? she will confirm. And it's not a tiny bit, you know, it's a big steak. Some choose Sunday as that special day of rest, special day of worship. Others feel different. Some would think the rest is a little bit there and there in a week because maybe of reality of work. The church will hold various views on practicalities about baptism. Should it be fully immersion? A bit of water? Is it infant, adults? We have various understanding of the Lord's Supper and how we should properly do communion. We can easily also pass judgment on the style of worship, as if God has a style he prefers. Well, the reality is that God is not really interested in the style. He's interested in our heart. So how do we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace? As we look, let's concentrate on what we have in common. And secondly, let's be realistic about our expectations too. We are called to love his church passionately, yet we need to be realistic about its imperfection. There is always a gap between our dream and the reality of a church, what we hope for and the reality. And to be mature is to living with that tension. Here is a truth about Christian fellowship. Other believers will disappoint you and let you down. But there is no excuse to stop being in fellowship with them. They are your family. Just the same with earthly family, where sometimes there are big issues, but they're still your family. They are your family, even when they at times do not act like it. And so in our reading, Paul reminds us to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make allowance for each other's fault because of your love for them. And it's true, the church has a long list of sad realities: conflict, hurt, hypocrisy, neglect, pettiness, legalism, pretense, personal agenda, pride, and many other sins. And rather than being shocked or surprised, we must remember that the church is still made of sinners. And that means you and me, sinners saved by grace. And instead of leaving the church disillusioned, we are called to stay and work it out, if at all possible. That's why Paul said, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. No church is perfect. Every church has its own sets of weakness and problems. Now, I received a joke on WhatsApp by David, David Wilkie, Dave. He knew I was going to talk about unity, so he sent me this. He said, a ship was sailing past a remote island and discovered a man who had been stranded there for several years. They went ashore to rescue the man and noticed he had built three huts for himself. They asked him, what is the first hut for? He said, well, that's my house. Okay, so what's the second hut for? Well, that's my church. Okay, so what's that other hut over there for? Oh, that's the church I used to go. Thank you, Dave. Great quote. Even when no one is there, there's problems. Because he was there. This is a more serious, maybe, a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I think Dave quoted that in his talk last week. He who loves his dream of community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter. If we do not give thanks daily for the Christian fellowship in which we have been placed, even when there is no great experience, no discoverable riches, but much weakness, small faith, and difficulty, if on the contrary we keep complaining that everything is paltry and petty, then we hinder God from letting our fellowship grow. So how do we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace? Well, we focus on what we have in common, we are realistic about our expectations, and third, we choose to encourage rather than criticize. Someone once said, it's always easier to stand on the sideline and take shots at those who are serving, that is to get involved and making a contribution. When we criticize what a believer does in faith and from sincere conviction, we interfere with God's business. And so in our reading we hear, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? We will all stand before God's judgment. Another translation says, why then criticize your brother or sister's action? Why try to make him or her look small? We shall all be judged one day, not by each other's standards, not even by our own standard, but by Christ's standard. Here is a true saying, a critical spirit is a costly vice. And there is another one, another costly vice, gossip. Here is a helpful definition of gossip. Gossip is passing on information when you are neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. I'm going to say it again. Gossip is passing on information when you are neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. So don't do it. But also don't listen to it. In his book, Rick Warren says, listening to gossip is like accepting stolen property. It makes you as guilty as the crime. I think a key word here is owning up. If you have a problem with someone, go to the person directly. Sort it out with the person. And if someone starts gossiping to you, just have the courage, and it's hard, just have the courage to say, please stop. I don't need to know. Have you talked directly to that person? Well, it's not about gossip, but I was a bit taken aback by what my children said, and I think it's a reality of any leaders or any vicars or any some people, is that when someone talks to a leader or to a vicar and he doesn't seem to get it, it looks like people go through their children or their wife. And I said, you know, could you have a word with your father? Because he doesn't seem to really listen. Please don't do that. It's not right. Go directly to the person. Sort it out. Here's what Proverbs 26 says. Fire goes out for the lack of fuel, and tensions disappear when gossip stops. So how do we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace? By focusing on what we have in common, by being realistic in our expectations, by choosing to encourage rather than criticize, by stopping gossiping, and finally, by supporting your vicar and leaders. Now that might sound like, you know, sounding my own trumpet. What I mean by that. This is another, maybe the last truth for this morning. There are no perfect leaders. No perfect vicars, no perfect bishops, no perfect pastors. But for whatever reason, mysterious as it is, God gives the responsibility to a leader, to a vicar, to a pastor, to a bishop, to help a church, to maintain the unity. And so leaders, pastors, vicars sometimes have this unpleasant task of serving as mediator when there is hurt and conflict or immature members. Even more, they have been given the impossible task to make everyone happy, a reality that even Jesus couldn't do. Actually, he made many people unhappy or angry. Why? I think because he was that full of truth and full of grace. I still have the order of service that I received when I was installed here as the vicar, and I read it regularly, not every day, but a few times a year, because I know one day I will stand before God, and I will have to give account on how well I have watched over you. I have proclaimed the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus, with courage and compassion. But you also have a responsibility you will be held into account. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. I like the Message translation. It says, overwhelm them with appreciation and love. So my address is 69 Richmond Avenue, you know. But you're doing that. You're already doing that. When I arrived, I was flowered with gifts and cards. I know that when someone is in grief, the number of cards they receive from this church. I know that when Dave came, he was embraced and, you know, received many cards and gifts. You're doing that. We are called to take this seriously as a matter of urgency, to promote and work hard at the unity of our local church. And I'm going to finish with the last paragraph of this book, well, this chapter. If there is one thing to remember, just that. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through bond of peace. What are you doing personally to make your church family more warm and loving? There are many people in your community who are looking for love and a place to belong. The truth is, everyone needs and wants to be loved. And when people find a church where members generally love and care for each other, you would have to lock the doors to keep them away. What a vision. What a vision. Let's pray. Jesus, this is your church that you love, and you pay the ultimate price. You died for it. Holy Spirit, you lead us to know Jesus personally. You help us to know the love of the Father. Lord, forgive. Forgive me when I bring my own dreams and do not see your church as it is. When we do that, forgive when our expectations do not match the reality and we get bitter. Teach us what it means to love one another and above all love you, love your world, and to be good news to our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you.